Where is Techie? How cool is that?
We is not Techie. Let me tell you something. We is not Techie. She attitude though.
What? What is that?
Attitude though. Attitude. She got attitude.
Oh. I think she just tired.
She had attitude, not attitude.
I mean, ma'am, we all literally took a nap.
Yeah.
In the middle she, of the night. They, everybody go wake up and be...
Right. And then you want us to wake up and be on 10.
I woke up. Yeah. I'm on 10.
Right.
But that's and just so your personality.
Right. Fuck Emily Podcast, y'all. I'm Keetra Long. And on the B-Bike.
It's with...
Yeah, we have a very special guest. I'm excited. I'm super excited to do this episode. I've been planning it for weeks since I found out my baby girl, my best friend, my longtime ride or die. This is where all the bodies buried. If y'all want to find out, if y'all want to find out the shit, the good stuff, y'all, it's my best friend, my homie. Give it up for Bun.
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 Yes. More so glad to be here.
More energy. Hey, and don't be so formal.
What does that mean?
Is the why really kicking in? You have a master's. I said don't be so formal.
Hey, I cheated the whole way through.
Not they about to come snatch your degree. Stop that. They
you can have it. They can have it. Okay? Take that shit. And take all of the student loans that came with it off my credit report. You can get it.
Hey, the streets been advocating for that for a while. I said Joe said he was gonna. Joe said he was gonna clean it up. He only did stuff for those kids online.
That is very true.
That's how. That's the, them the only loans he cleaned up. The rest of us,
right.
That chose the alternative route. It seems as though 4-year colleges and universities is our alternative route.
Yeah. All of the legitimate colleges did not qualify. Getting people that went to Goldie Community College.
Goldie.
Anything.
Is that a real school?
Applies as long as you apply. University. I mean, it was schools that you knew people just conjured up.
It was. Yo, Toya went to one of them schools and she was like, and they told me my credits did not transfer. I was like, what was the, cause she was like, Trinity Christian State something. I was like, what? I looked at you. Crazy. Crazy. It looked like they had wrote their introduction at what is it called? The college curriculum. It looked like they wrote that shit on notebook paper.
Right. The whole university has one office in a corporate building and two people work in there. Like, come on. This isn't higher education.
At least Sorry. That's what, look, at least that was not the standard for higher education. Girl, you can literally, I'm a student of Google University now.
Me too. That's what I'm saying.
I don't understand why I owe y'all $42,000 and I could just Google it.
See, we didn't know that then. Half of the stuff, I've never applied it. I've never used it. I just got 100. Oh, I'm telling off. Yeah. I have like $169,000 worth of student loan.
Did you mark that? Because Kaiser bit.
Okay. Most depressing.
You had a whole, a what?
It's like 169. When I finished my master's, it was 118,000. But the interest is ballooned up.
You ain't consolidate them?
Yes.
And it's 169.
$169.
You gonna pay them?
I'm trying my best to die and not pay you. No, I don't want to give you a cent if I can help it.
Right. Look, how y'all gonna get it if I ain't got it?
You know, now they're talking about garnishing wages.
Yes, that's if you're in default. Mm. So currently mine is still like in forbearance.
Mm. Right.
Or which one is it? Deferred is when you're in school. It's in forbearance now.
You can get them deferred too. Deferred and forbearance. Deferment is just holding it off. A forbearance is where they just give you a period, a grace period of not paying at all.
Mm-hmm. That's
which
what
is also a forbearance because it's just like how long you want it forbear for. You can get a deferment for like 6 months, but you can get a forbearance for like a year.
Yeah, the forbearance is always
extended.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get into it. I'm excited about this episode. I've been wanting to do this episode for weeks because it's the friendship episode. And I wanted to do this episode because, you know, as I go through what I am going through right now, for an second time, I really have time. I really have a lot of time on my hand to think and ponder and, you know. And I mean, always have been, but I'm just grateful for, like, the people that I've attracted in my life and the people around me. I have so much self-love, self-confidence for myself because of my village and the people that just, I don't know if people know just how much confidence comes with simply knowing that people love you, regardless of mm-hmm. how good you do, how bad you do. And especially in times like this, like I'm scared, I'm fearful, but I never feel alone. Like, I just, because I know that people love me. And it's people like you gonna drop whatever they doing and you gonna slide for me. You know what I mean? So this is the friendship episode. And I wanted to talk about this simply because I'm out here in LA and I'm in an industry where I feel like, sadly enough, I haven't forged the type of bonds that I have in my everyday life. Mm-hmm. And I haven't really, you know, because my bonds are so strong and because I have so much love around me, it's not something that I sit and ponder every day. It was just something that I thought about. I was like, oh, within my career, though, I don't have a bond. I was thinking about this in my journey and in my career. I don't have a Vaughn. I don't have a Wit. I don't have my sisters, you know. And I think about that. And I think about how my bonds with y'all started. And I mean, my first bond was with my sister. And I think it was easier. My life has been easier because of that. Because my sisters have so many different personalities that I understand how to navigate personality. Mm-hmm. And
That came in handy with me.
Yes. Yes. But you also have a lot of sisters. So you, on both sides. And you, so you, out.
Yeah, but I didn't grow up with them the way you did, Lord.
Yeah, fair. But, I mean, nonetheless, I just feel grateful to have, mm-hmm. grateful that I have a life outside of my career. Yeah. And that when times like these arise, I have people that you know, make this ride a much smoother ride, a much easier ride. So, so thankful for y'all. And I say that all the time. And B Mike don't want to hear it. But thankful that I call you every day and I complain and I cry. And then you complain and cry with me. And then we do what we do. And that be what it is. With that being said, I want to know y'all, like, what's y'all definition of friendship?
You want to get into your health update?
Did I skip that? Mm-hmm. That's on the outline. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's get in line on the outline. Okay. I'll do that. I'm sick. Shit. What you want me to say? I'm sick. Yeah. We have been absent for 2 weeks. I guess I should. But I mean, I'm guessing y'all know. Y'all know. I mean, I've been in the guillotine. I'm about to go back. This is one of my two good days that I have before I go to the cooker. And then y'all probably won't hear from me again for another, 2-3 weeks, a month. Back to the emergency room I went, you know. He said, y'all, my doctor, this time when I went to the emergency room, he said, "Whoa, I see you was here last month. The month before that, and the month before that." Every time I go to the emergency room, they was like, "Did you talk to your doctor?" I said, "Yes." And he told me if something was wrong to come here. And he said,
"Have you turned this into like your emotional support trip? Like now this is just..."
Yeah, it's just for fun. I was like, that, like I go up and down. Like, you know, most people do club appearances. I do ER appearances.
There you go.
They that is. I be right feeling now. Like the man when I walk through. Try to make a few man when I walk. They be like, "Oh, hi, Keetra. How you doing? Well, how you doing, Miss Long? You're back. Hey, we're gonna have to turn you into a permanent residency." And they have like people. One of the emergency rooms that I go to, people have donated and dedicated like rooms to this hospital.
So you're gonna get you one? Is that what you're working on?
Yeah, that's what I'm working on. I'm trying. I don't know if they really get the picture. They, you know what? I'm gonna say.
Or maybe they could donate one of those chairs inside the ER. You know how they have like benches, and then when you look, they have a little carving with a person's name. They gonna give you one.
You know what? They should. Call them and talk to them about it. Put that on the list. Cause they should. I think I'm indoctrinated by now. He said, "You been here? I see." He said, "Well, what your doctor say?" I said, "He said, as you." He gave me a note this time. I left the ER with a note. It's like a stack of papers. He said, "When you go to see your doctor, give him this. Now don't come back. He said, "Don't come back unless he signed this." So you can't put me out the emergency room. I'm coming back. First of all, I fear that this juncture of my life, this chemo journey, has sent me into perimenopausal.
That could very well be true, though.
He told me that, but I ain't believe him. First of all, I ain't seen a cycle since America's Next Top Model.
So I have a question. Like, this might
you
be
just
dumb.
Gonna step on my goddamn joke, did you?
Once you're done, right? Does this? Will your body like have a moment where it kind of like recalibrates, and then you're like, so like, say for instance, the theory is correct. the chemo has sent you into perimenopause. Once you stop, does it, like, will you still be experiencing some of those symptoms that you feel like are connected to perimenopause? Does it go back to normal at all?
I'll say this. Last time, they put me on a hormone blocker. Like, you know, I didn't go through chemo last time. Mm-hmm. They put me on a hormone blocker. And it also sent me into a pre-perimenopausal or whatever it was, the hormone blocker. I only took that for like a month, maybe 2 months, maybe. And I was like, nah. And I just stopped taking it.
Mm-hmm.
So everything went back to normal. But again, it wasn't chemo.
So it is a point where your body kind of resets itself once you're done with.
I don't know. I see. I never been through chemo. I'm hoping it does.
It does. They don't discuss that with you, like your physician?
Yeah, but everybody's different.
Okay.
So I mean, and they can't say for sure because my body is my body.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just gonna be what it's gonna be.
Yeah. Because I think in my mind, that's what I've been imagining.
What?
Like, once you're done with this, then you may, you know, still need a few months.
I'm sure.
But then you're going to get back to.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure.
Everything will go back to the way it was.
I mean, I'm praying so. I feel, you know, I feel like it could. I feel like it should. But you never know.
Yeah.
Like, I'm, like, literally, taking away and putting things in my body.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm going to try my damnedest.
Okay.
That's what I do. But, yeah. So, who got that faint cough in the background?
The off mic producer for the episode.
Ooh. Good
well,
one.
If you off the mic, then how you get on it?
Good one. That you just the voice and the face. What is the?
She the producer actually.
She makes it shake.
She makes it shake.
See, you just get to get up here with all of this energy,
and you can have you too can have God's favor on energy.
Never had that, ma'am. Do you remember your? Your nickname in college? Spunk.
hey, can I?
Oh, we don't want to share that.
Oh, you can share that. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. I'm hoping I'm going to go back to normal. I'm hoping. I'm praying.
Yeah.
It's a good possibility. They say youth is the key.
Yeah.
Also, why are you talking about my level of energy? Out of 30 days, I only get 2 days of this. Also, my energy is up when I do this podcast because it's something I'm really, really excited about. And it's something I want to make the biggest thing in the world. You know how I dream big. You know how big I dream.
This is your new baby.
Yes, this is my new baby. So many new babies. Ain't that right, C-Mike Kai? Yep, see, he said it. So... With that being said, yeah, I'm going back. They about to let your girl cook again. In a few days, I will be back for another treatment. So I will be down again. But when I get my 2 days of reprieve, I'll be back up.
Mm-hmm. You going to be back talking?
I'll be back up. I'm going to have this much energy. That's what I'm saying. When I have this much energy, I give it to people. That's what I think my gift is to the world. Just like my energy.
Your vibrance is contagious.
To be infectious. That's what I try to do. So, like I said, I'm excited about this episode because I want to talk to y'all. I feel like I have so many people that love me in my personal life. And I've cultivated so many amazing friendships
in relationships in my personal life. But I don't feel like it's the same in my career. I don't feel like I have those close relationships or those close bonds or people I can tell anything or people who've been through the mud with me and know what I've gone through just to get to this point. And I don't know. I don't think it's working for me. You know how they say your network is your net worth? And I don't feel like in my career I've maintained or garnered any of those relationships. Like, I have people I'm cool with. I have people that, you know, we have stories. But just nobody that I feel like I'm tight with. Mm-hmm. Even in this part of my life right now. A lot of people call, a lot of people. But, like, in that part of my life, it's, I don't know, it's just awkward. So, I'm hoping in that this episode and doing it with two of the most special people in my life, I'm hoping that it brings me some light or that I get an aha moment from it. What's your definition of friendship?
I have the slightest idea if I have like a formal definition of friendship. And I think I'm lost on words about what a friendship is because I've always been really huge on action. So, like, to put that, great question. I think a good friendship is only sustainable when you truly have two individuals who don't feel threatened by each other. So, I don't, like you mentioned, you don't feel like you've been able to cultivate the same type of friendships within your career that you have in just your everyday life. And that's probably because it's so many people that's in competition, you can't separate that. So I feel like the best friendships come out of, like, I don't, you know, I'm not trying to take your space. I don't feel threatened by you. You're not threatened by you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't have a reason to ever not be supportive. Like, nothing is blocking that. You know, I do feel like a good friendship, you definitely have to have patience. Because you're going to need a lot of time to grow. And, like, we met at a very young age where we were both just kind of new in adulthood. And I don't think I'm half the person today that I was then.
No, you crazy the damn self! Mm-hmm. but we met at a time where both of us was crazy, so it worked out because we was
crazy. That's very true. So, but in that, like, I had to practice. Like, you have to want to give it time. Like, my only beef with you, like, first, for instance, when we first met, my pet peeve with you was your timing. You would be so late. Ooh. It was like, what is going on here? But
let me just say that. Yeah. Everybody know I'm late. And now that you know I'm late, I'm late. I'm late. I'm a late. I was a late bloomer. Like I was a late baby. I'm late. I try. I have prayed about it.
Yeah, but
listen. It's not my strong suit.
Now, she may be different these days. I don't really get a chance to interact with her that much because we're so many miles away from each other. But the lateness people that we are discussing here is not normal. It wasn't normal. Okay.
Do I still be late with?
Is it like, I'm talking about part-time job. I had a 6-hour window. Like, we spoke this morning at 8 o'clock. I told you I was leaving Birmingham at 8 o'clock. I didn't even leave at 8 o'clock. I left at 10. It took me 2 hours to get to Montgomery. And we still couldn't leave Montgomery until 6 p.m., people, because she came to the door in her robe at 12. Well, whatever time I got there in the afternoon, you had a 2-hour flop because originally I was supposed to leave at 8, but I called you and said, it's 10 o'clock, but I'm on the highway. You still met me in the robe. No, hey, I'm sorry that I'm in the robe. Just give me 5 minutes. Baby, she walked to the door, opened it, turned around, and went back to listening to her music. It was just no rush. It was that type of thing.
So are you harboring that? Because I feel like...
I'm not harboring it at all. But when I think about our moments of upset, that is what triggered it. Because it's like, I thought I was crazy. This is crazy to me. This is crazy.
Do I still be late with?
Yeah. That bad late? Like, I don't know.
How long? 2 hours?
No. It was more. So, that's what I'm saying. Originally, I was supposed to leave at 8. So, in my mind, you should have been ready by 10 or 11. But when I tell you, oh, I didn't get a chance to leave Birmingham until 10 o'clock. It takes roughly 2 hours from Birmingham to Montgomery, maybe. So I get to you around 12:30. But I'm saying she was so unready that even though I got there at 12 instead of 10, we were so unready, we still didn't leave Montgomery until 6 p.m. Do you see what I'm saying? So I still get there at 12, roughly. And we spent another 6 hours, me just waiting on you to get ready.
I think that's far.
We left Montgomery at 6 o'clock.
I think you harboring.
It was dark.
I think you
harboring. It was dark.
I think you harboring, baby. One bad story, one bad memory in your mind. 6 hours. Do that sound like me with?
I have a few more. But getting back, like,
I'm glad you just said possible, because you, yeah, that's a good, now that's a good friend. You just throwing, like, possible. Like, that's, possible is a good word, because it don't mean definite. It just be, maybe.
You're definitely going to be late.
Really, really late.
Yeah.
But to get back to my point, it took time for me to realize this is just who she is. It's just, you just need to prepare yourself that you're not going to be on time if you're messing with her, okay? It's just not going to work out that way. But, you know, you, maybe with growth or just us continuing to live, you just learn that that's not a battle that's worth fighting anymore. Like, I don't even care about that. That's just who you are. Like, you have much more positive
attributes,
beautiful attributes,
than
me to focus on that anymore. But I'm saying, in the very beginning, that was enough for me to feel like I'm not gonna be this girlfriend. I don't want to deal with this shit. This is crazy.
Yeah, like crazy.
Yes,
like crazy.
Right.
I don't even want to talk about.
Talk about it. I mean, because that's what.
You were batshit. Loose screw. Loose leg on the chair. Off your rocker.
Ma'am, it's not an iota. It's not a part. It's not a cell in my body that disagrees with it. It's not.
I mean, Luna fucking tick. And you know what I think about? Every time I tell you you're a lunatic, I was like, who was the bigger lunatic? Because I stayed for that shit. I stayed for, and look at us now. Can't separate us.
Because you recognized, you gave it time, you realized I had way more positive energy.
Thank you for being
so that Tessa. Just wasn't a battle. No, but in that, you also have, like, I feel like I've definitely evolved. And I recognize, like, I, like, you, nobody wants to be batshit crazy all of their life.
Yeah, like you, like you. And that's what I don't like about you today. I miss the batshit you. Honestly. You're so, you, I mean, you just. You just have become like such a yin to my yang. When we used to be yin to, when we used to be yin to yin, yin to ying. Like, yeah, you just balanced out. So
you want me crazy, just not, what is it? Because you said I scared you.
Not batshit, but just regular crazy. And towards other people, not me. Not me.
You want the batshit crazy.
Yeah, when others. I call, when I be mad and stuff, and I call you, and I be like, ooh, but I'm so hype. Ooh. And then you be like, yeah, probably. No. No. My 2016 friend would have never. My friend that's telling people to get their shit together would never become. I need it. I want to say my definition, and the biggest thing in my life. And I realized this so many years ago. What was going to be most important to me in life? Loyalty. I think that's a big part of friendship for me. And everybody that's around me these days, loyal AF. Loyal, just the most loyal people I know. The people I keep in my immediate circle. And we'd be like, you got a lot of friends. And I don't be, but truly, I just do. I have a lot of people that fuck with me. And based on nothing. That's my definition of friendship. Mm-hmm. It's based on, like, real shit we've gone through, real experiences, really caring about, like, really, like, how you doing? When you say how you doing. Mm-hmm. Like, really caring about that. Really, everybody I fuck with, I know they mama. I've been to their house. We talking about family. We talking about family things. And what's going on, and I mean, all of us, we talk about our careers, because y'all have, my friends have wonderful careers, and it excites me, it energizes me, but we talking about real shit, and we laughing, and we crying, and there's like a foundation for the friendship. I feel like it's been some scenarios that I've had that I'm like, oh. I know one reason I was thinking crazy. I get set up. I'm trying to, like, when I have tried to open myself up and extend myself, because I do feel like I'm a shell of myself. People didn't hit me with the okie doke. So my dumb ass just be falling for it. You invite me to your podcast, and you invite me to do your podcast, and then you like, hey, how you be getting money? What do you be doing?
Wow.
You are the number one on the call sheet for a television show, or you had been. And that is what your question is for me. Mm-hmm. Last okie doke I got hit with, which this was like currently within the last 1 or 2 years. We trying to kick it. I get invited out to dinner with said person. And their friend, their one of their best friends. And we at a nice restaurant. We talking, we having a good time, we kicking it. We kicking it. And they're like, so I know you do comedy and I do comedy, but I don't make a lot of money from gigging. So where you get your money from? This person has a Netflix special, their own Netflix special. And they asking me, so it's like, it's really insane to try to open yourself up to people like that when they watching your pocket. I'm like, what? I'm like, where in the F is this coming from? And why? And those are just two scenarios. I mean, you know, it's come do a sketch with me. And then you be like, hey, man, what you be doing? Where you be getting your money from? But you have given me money and have never asked where my money comes. I don't think you ever once asked me where my money come from. You have given me money and have never asked me where my money came from. And the shit just baffles me all the time. When I'm like, how y'all gonna be setting up? Another scenario. I'm kicking it with a chick. We go to this other comedian show. Girl power. It's supposed to be girl support. And on the way, the chick is like, I heard you was fucking such and such. Like, it's things like that.
But I mean, you gotta understand that it's like so many of you all, especially like when you're all comedians, you're running in the same circle. So like you're all essentially in their mind, you're fighting for the same spot.
But we're never gonna do the same things. The people that are asking me,
don't think that way.
Even dudes, like, what do you? What? Hold on. That's your rationalization. Excuse me. That's your rationalization when it comes to that. What does how I get my money have to do with anything that we're doing in comedy?
I mean, you gotta strip acting. Away. So strip away the gender. They're still trying to survive in a world that you're trying to survive in. I mean, they're all out here. Everybody's out here trying to be a comedian. Most of the people that you run into are in the comedy world. So they're just trying to look at how are you maintaining your lifestyle, right? As opposed to, you don't know what's going on in their life. But they're just trying to see, what are you doing in the meantime? You don't have a Netflix special. You seem to be making it or faring off well. What are you doing?
But why is that your business?
That's not in their thought process. They don't care about that.
But also the thing about it is asking me about
they're doing it to make comparison, because that's what we're just accustomed to doing, comparing our own lives to other people.
But that doesn't help anybody.
Who's thinking logically? That's a perfectly logical, emotionally healthy ass statement. How many of us out there really functioning in that?
But that's the weird shit that throws me off. I just don't. Okay, you're excusing the finances thing, but what about the personal life shit? Like, I don't know. I'm like, do I have a target on my... Because here's the thing. I know who I am. I know what I represent for people. I know what people see when they see me. Mostly. I think. Yeah, I'm sure of that. But this the thing. You don't got to compare yourself to nobody. I just feel like, don't compare yourself to me. I don't want no job that ain't mine. I'm not going to book. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to get nothing that's not mine. Nothing. nothing for that's for me is gonna miss me. I honestly believe that. Whether it take a year, 5 years, 10 years, 20, 25, I honestly believe that whatever I'm supposed to get, that's what I'm gonna get. And that's it. And the next person and the next person. And it's so much to be gotten. That's the thing. You don't gotta come. I don't look at no fucking body. I promise, when I'm doing me on a consistent basis, like the way I pump out like comedy, the way I pump out like my web series, the way I pumped out this podcast, it's like I'm constantly thinking about me. Mm-hmm. And my brain is constantly turning for creativity that lends itself to me. I can't think. I don't have any space or the capacity to think about what somebody getting off.
And here's the thing. I honestly, I don't feel like the vast majority of people are waking up every day with an intention. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to put my focus on whatever my counterparts are doing. I don't think that's their intention. I just feel like we live in a society that has fostered so much competition. It's like intellectually you're aware that it doesn't make sense. It's not even necessary for you to compare yourself to a person. But you still have to function in that society every day, right? So socially, you're just constantly being told, like, if your house doesn't look like theirs, if you're not driving the same type of vehicle, you know, it's just maybe you're not as good. And I feel like that is what even when you have people who like take for instance, you take friends who grow up together. They grew up together, but I mean, society just gives them something that separates them. Like you can't help but to compare yourself sometimes. I don't think people intentionally do that. Hell, to themselves. Because, I mean, it's a torture to yourself for you to constantly be comparing yourself to another person. But it just kind of happens. You know what I mean? I don't think they... Let me just do this because nobody's doing it for fun. It's just the way we've been conditioned.
To ask somebody to ask somebody about their sex life who you don't talk to on a regular... It's chaos. That shit is mad.
Do you think we live in a chaotic environment?
Yeah, this is what I'm here for. This is my question. This is the point. Do I lend myself to situations where motherfuckers feel like I'm a threat, or like you could just roll up? You could just ask me who about my sex life. Like what the fuck is that? What does that have to do? I'm trying to bring. Hey, for both of y'all. Y'all know me. First of all, I don't take shit serious. On a day-to-day basis. On a day-to-day basis. That's why shit catch me off guard. Because I'm not even thinking defensively. Ever. That doesn't even come up in my spirit. So when people do shit like that to me, I'm like, what type of energy am I? But then I remember y'all are like my real friends. If I really want to get some shit off, I'm gonna have to call my real friends. Mm-hmm. Will you got something to say?
And I mean, no one is supposed to be. Not all people that you come in contact with is supposed to be your real friends. So.
True. I believe that. I believe some people come for a reason. I believe some people come for a season. But
I And I do want to add this, if we're getting ready to close. I feel like...
We not closing. We open
24/7. Oh, okay. Like I mentioned with us, it took a lot of growth, right? And that was work on both of our behalves. I feel like mentally, because like you said, I really was. I took myself way too seriously when we first met.
But you was crazy.
But I was crazy because I didn't have the foresight to understand why people were doing things. I didn't have enough bandwidth to recognize, okay, this is a trigger for me because of something that's going on with me. Right? You pissed me off. You intended to piss me off, and I'm gonna get you for that, because that's you shouldn't do that. Don't piss me off. Don't do that, right? But when you recognize that, like, how long have you and Wit known each other?
3 years.
The way I watch her as a friend of yours for a very, very long time, okay, a very long time, the way I watch her be able to manage, like, you never really get her out of her personality. She's very good balance for you, right?
So yes, because she got quality time alone and alone in her head. I have to make her be my friend.
Really?
Yes.
No. That's gotta be the next topic. How did this a friendship evolve?
Like, I had to make her.
What does that mean?
I had to make her be my friend. Do you?
What was it with you thought this bitch's energy is all over the place? I don't know what to do with this.
Most people throughout my life that I've been close to, they're like that. They're aggressive and talkative and be like, you gonna be my friend. That's just the type of people I attract. Probably because I'm quiet. I don't know.
Because you're, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because you're not a person of many words. And then when you do speak, the fact that you don't talk a lot, that alone is what allow people to be like, okay, well, when she is speaking, I'm all ears. I'm paying attention. Because, whoa, what do you mean? You talk? So that, and then when you start to listen to Wit is very, very wise. She's extremely wise.
Yeah, she an old black lady from South Carolina.
Yeah, it's like some old deep 70, set wisdom.
She is a 70-year-old black woman from South Carolina.
It's some deep wisdom off in there. So that's a gifted friendship. Ours is just, we just made conscious decisions to just have patience. Along with, like, we're growing in life and you know, you start to realize, oh, shit, nobody's perfect. Let me stop judging so much, because who the hell am I?
I don't. I will say, yeah, there have been. Hold on. Let's digress. You think I'm aggressive?
What? Are you not aware? Are you unaware?
Hush, Marcia. I'm talking the week, right?
Not aggressive in a negative way, of course. Just your personality is very
in
forward.
Your face.
Yeah.
It's have a spunky. Forward,
have a forward personality. Yeah. And you can talk to anybody.
You remember our first interaction?
You was probably being a bitch.
I was not.
What was it? Was I being a bitch?
Our very first interaction was...
Oh, no, don't tell that. Don't tell that, because again, you very angry. Very angry. You're a very angry person. Don't tell that.
That was not an angry
when I put
moment.
My head up and I was like, is that the one you're about to tell? No.
But I wasn't angry.
What was our first interaction?
The first interaction was us, we're passing each other, I'm leaving the dorm, I'm assuming you coming back to the dorm, and like, by this point, you're a little bit popular on the yard, like, everybody knows, you're this cute little petite, thick booty girl,
Thank you for mentioning that. Yeah. Thank you for mentioning it, because I want people to know that the ass was always aspiring. Go ahead.
Yeah, she's always had a cute little figure. Anyway,
I was talking about my ass. I didn't talk about the rest.
She always had a nice ass, people.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for putting that out there. Appreciate that. Appreciate that.
No, but Keisha has a lot of hair. Shut up. She has a lot of hair. But it was like shoulder length hair, and it was red. And she would wear flips. So, like, that was how I could see her miles away. Anyway, this particular day, though, we live in the same dorm. This particular day, I'm already aware of who you are just because, like I said, you were a little bit popular on the yard by this point. And you're just bopping along up the hill, getting ready to go into the dorm, and I'm leaving slowly.
Sidebar. Always by myself, though.
Always alone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Never saw you walking. Yeah, that is. Never really noticed that. You were always by yourself. Anyway, we're about to pass each other, and somebody else, you were greeting somebody. And then when you get to me, you was like, hey, what's up? Like, you know how like you hold your hand back like you're about to give somebody five. I held my hand out to give this bitch five. And she goes, ah, you're too slow, bitch. And you just like move on past me. You didn't give me five.
Maybe I have.
Hey. And you just bop on right on it. I was like, I told my roommate, I was like, hey, that girl that lives two doors down from us that's from Birmingham, I don't like her. I don't like that bitch. She had me. I was about to give her five. And she fooled me. No, but that was our first interaction.
You always say, I do not remember
But that goes to show, like, that's your energy has always been upbeat. Everybody ain't waking up with that. Okay.
I honestly understand that now about myself. And have been called lame for not drinking and smoking. However, or doing drugs. However, I'm a gift to you.
You absolutely fucking lose. Because I always need a driver.
I'm a gift to Wit. Wit guts is all over the streets of West Hollywood.
Cut that out.
No, don't cut that out. Wit.
Yeah, don't even bother, because I'm going to cut it out. Go ahead
and stop. Gut tumbling all over, just regurgitated all over the street. I can't take it. I can't make it. All over the Hollywood street.
A little too much.
Bless it. She, one more shot. Home safe, and turn face down on the couch. Cause of me, you know what I was having.
A Sprite
on the rocks. Spritz of Sprites. I'm a black. My life, and because I can be high without being high, has been a blessing. I have gotten so many people home safe. Stop it.
That's very true. Like, even though it sounds like we're joking with it, that's a gift that you have, because I mean, like, how nice it must be for you to be operating in the same reality that everybody else is in this. Anyway, that's a gift. That's a gift. You've always had that. You've always had like a little spark.
Oh, that's so sweet. I never.
And most people, I'm going to say this. Most people, especially with me, in my life, I never met anybody like that. Like, we were all easily triggered, waiting. I'm on edge, bitch. Do not push me. I am close to the edge.
You know what? Thank you. I never knew you felt that way about me. That, you know, I have been told that
people do be saying I never met anybody like you, but I don't never internalize that.
Yeah, that's okay.
I really don't internalize that thought, but maybe I should embrace it. What made you attracted to me as a friend?
What made you finally give in? You was like, let me go.
I mean, you know, I like to laugh. So if you make me laugh, then we cool. I don't have many requirements for friendship.
Oh, you just using me for my funnies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Nah, she just gonna watch you either hang yourself or prove yourself.
Jeez.
She's just gonna silently.
Jeez. I honestly, I consider myself to be, I was another thing. Do you consider yourself to be a good friend? I'm gonna tell you, Von, this is you. Yes. And I'm gonna tell you something that will always tie me to you for life, and you know, I be getting emotional.
Don't you do it.
I mean, we had already gotten pretty close. We had a third friend. She didn't make it through the friendship circle, unfortunately.
Yes, she did. We gonna pull her back in.
Huh?
Okay, maybe not. Never mind.
You the one be giving her drugs. But that's neither here nor there.
That was one time a decade ago.
Nonetheless. Honestly, I wanted to say, the thing that will forever tie me to you was when my grandmother had cancer. And I was just talking to her one day, and she was like, yeah, be cold and something, something, something. And I remember I was just talking to you. I randomly talking to you. Again, at this point, we already close. And you went over there and you took my grandma a heater and some blankets. And you talked to my grandma. And knowing how close. Knowing just how close I was to my grandmother. And I was away at the time. I think I was in Atlanta or some shit. And like, that took our friendship to another level for me. Because I ain't have to ask you that. I ain't beg you to do it. You was just there for me. Because you knew I was going through it. And I'm like, not just because of that one thing. It's so many times where you just like, oh my God, I can't think. And I hope, I just hope I've been able to return that to you. Like, come in here for me. Like, the shit you do that just drop, you just stop your whole entire life for me. It's, that's the shit. Maybe I just expect too much out of people because of how hard, like, I know my friends love me. You know, my real friends that don't want nothing from me. Maybe those are my expectations. But because y'all love me like that and I have been loved like that my whole life, maybe that's my problem. Maybe I'm spoiled. Maybe I just expect, that's the bar. That's the bar. So it's just like when people, honestly, I'd be like, do you know how to be a real friend? Like, do you know what that entails? And I mean, it's not just about what you've given me. I hope I've given you as much in return, or you feel that equally I have given back to you as a friend, because that's what I want to be. And we don't count, we don't measure, but
yeah,
I mean, just support wise, that's what I aspire to be. Like all my friends inspire me to be a better fucking person. Y'all just do. Like, emotionally, mentally, physically, metaphorically, like, all of it. Y'all just inspire me. But that is the one situation when I knew, like, I was like, oh, this my round right here. Can't let her down. Can't let her down. Damn. I was like, if this bitch, if she need a kidney, now I got to go. Damn it. That's what I always say. That's what I always say. I be like, fuck, I want my kidneys.
And I'm around here drinking like a fish.
Please.
I might need one. No, I'm just joking. No, I'm joking.
You better not.
Yeah, but that should be
okay. I had something totally else in mind. Something totally different. So.
I mean, it's fun. I can name probably 1,000 situations where I just call you. Even if it was just like advice, you talk about wit balance me, you balance me as well. When I told Wit, she was like, who is this bun you always but like, we're totally opposite. Like, I would say academically, I'm the serious one. I'm very serious about, absolutely, like, just getting that shit out the way. Yeah. I would say you, like, but in life, you are the serious one and you handle the business. And when I know that, like, I need some balance and business handle, I mean, you got that shit. Because I'm not serious. You are. Mm. You'll be like, let me just tip. You was the first one who taught me how to fix my credit the first time.
That's because I had
mine up so terribly bad with the little Discover card.
You know what? That shit is so predatory because all I did was put my name on a sheet of paper at school. Freshman year in college, because I wanted a pre-T shirt.
That's what they did.
And to they sent me a credit card to the dorm. I remember having to go to the little bitty mailbox for my room, and you sent me a credit card. Hell yeah, that was like free money to me. I'm a broke college student.
Yeah, look, everybody got gap.
Just predatory.
Everybody got gap. But it's just so many things I'm thankful for in my personal life. So many people that ride for me. So many people that let me genuinely be who I am. Thoroughly and genuinely. And don't hold no punches for how goofy I am. I don't gotta have no accountability. Y'all just, hey, stupid. And encourage me and support me and show up for me and show up for my shows, even when it's bad, even when it's good. Like, yeah. So the friendship episode is one that I was so elated about doing with the both of y'all. Because y'all mean as much to me. And I'm just trying to figure out how to navigate it. So I guess ain't no duplicates for the people that step up in my life. Maybe I'm not even supposed to have that career-wise. Maybe it's impossible to have these type of relationships in what I'm doing. And if that's the case, I'm okay with that because I have it. I have it. Maybe that's just why I'm so content.
Mm-hmm.
I can afford to be private, as Whit would say. Whit said I'm notoriously private.
I agree. You don't think you're private?
How would the person that knows the most about shit, why would you call me private? Yeah, absolutely. But that's only, the only reason I am afforded to be private is because of you. Because I could just tell you all the shit. I could just tell Whit all the shit.
I am the vault.
Von the vault. The vault. I told y'all pass away, I'd be like, hold on a minute, God. You get that bitch Von Seal over here. She
might go to talking.
Hold on, God. Let's see, we gotta go.
Yeah.
Why we got? Because we know some shit.
No, that's imperative to friendships, okay? People, you know, I hate to see when things are going good in a friendship and y'all sharing, and it's absolutely no reason for me to hide my dirt from you because we're friends. And then you run into those issues where maybe we're not friends. And so now I'm going to disclose all of your dirt. That is a telltale sign that your ass is not a good friend. You were never that person's friend if you do that.
Yeah, that shit is fucked up.
Like, that's just I get so sick of watching people do that. Never your friend. If now that I'm upset with you or we're not
cool
friends anymore, now I'm going to broadcast everything that I feel like is going to embarrass you or
try to shame you.
Yeah. If you do that, people, you're not a good friend. Like, stop doing that shit. Would you want it done to you? Probably not. Don't do that shit to people. That's the craziest thing in the world to me.
Yeah, because when I look, we not friends no more, we not cool no more, whatever the case may be. I just stopped talking to you. Yeah. That don't mean my loyalty stops. That just means I'm no longer giving it to you in personal interaction.
Right.
But my loyalty don't stop. That ain't P. But again, that's what I say. Like, we on the same wavelength with that. Yeah. Those are the ties that bind. Those are the things. Okay, let's get through a couple more questions.
Like, we over an
hour. Can you name a time where you felt hurt by somebody who was a friend, who is or was a friend, and how did you respond?
So I'm the type of person, I don't. Especially now, since I've curbed the batshit craziness, I just walk away from it. I just don't really. That's how I don't respond. I just let it go.
But something, it don't have to be recent, but like a time where you feel like disappointed or let down. Like, damn.
Yeah. With one. So, but I mean, it was always like,
mind you, I already know what you're gonna say. I probably know already. That's how I tell you. I already know
whatever this person is. I just think, so we were very young when we met, and then you just start to see that they don't necessarily have the best opinion of you. Like, I think it was just so many things that ended up happening between us throughout the friendship that just kind of let me, the conclusion I had was, oh, you just thought you were better than I was. So that's why you would do little stuff like this. And I think once I recognized that, it was hurtful, but then at the same time, I recognized, you know, like, you can't, a person's behavior and actions, especially when it's negative, you got to recognize that shit has way more to do with them than it ever will you. So I think that's what allows me to just kind of like trying to confront you, be, you know, angry with you or match, you know, like do their a tit energy. For tat thing, try to get you back in little ways. Like that is pointless to me because I recognize that the things that you did to me, it didn't have anything to do with me. It wasn't about me. It was you. And what the hell am I supposed to do with that? But at the same time, like, it's just not something I want to be around, or it's not good for me and my emotional well-being. So I always handle it by just letting it go.
You had a time when you were hurt by somebody, and what'd you do?
Yeah, of course. What did I do? I just moved on. Mm-hmm. Moved on from the friendship and the situation, and that was it.
Mm-hmm. You want to tell us about the situation?
Not really.
Why?
Not really.
Why?
It's a long story.
Oh, we got time?
Nope, we don't.
All right. You know what? Now I'll just close it out by saying this. I feel like friendship is important. Also, I feel like knowing how to be a friend shapes a big part of your character and who you are and who you'll become. I think even better if you're a person who knows how to create a net worth of substance. Mm-hmm. I think maybe the reason I haven't cultivated those relationships, maybe not healthy. Actually, I know they're not healthy. But the ones that I do have and the close relationships that I do have in the industry, very lucrative relationships on all those fronts that I was talking about. Mm-hmm. The people that rock with me, they rock with me. And I rock with them, and I know how to do that, and both parties know how to rock without expectation, and that's what's healthy. Yeah. I think it's time to get into TBT. TBT for this week. This is gonna be short. Nobody roll their eyes. I got some things I wanna say. So I was excited to watch Forever on Netflix. Did you see Forever? Did you see Forever?
I saw it.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it. I watched it.
Give me a good love story and a blanket. I mean, I watched it in a total of 2 days. How long did it take you to watch?
Yeah, it was about 2 days.
Yeah, I couldn't stop crying. Even though I felt like the theme was recurring. The theme of make it up, break up, make up, break up, make up, break up, make up, break up.
Yeah.
Would y'all be together for me? Let's bookend it. But I'm glad they didn't bookend it like that. I just love love. Okay. Y'all know I'm a lover girl. And I just love love. I love the way that they showed the nucleus black family.
Yes. Yes. That was refreshing.
Witty, what's his name?
Yeah. I was really able to appreciate the way they did the mom character. Like, they showed her strength, but she never really emasculated her husband.
Yes.
So I like that.
Can I just jump off the porch here and say, Simone Mystic was, I did my first, one of my first student or short films with her in LA. We didn't get to meet, but we was both in it. So I always claim that. Yeah. So I think Simone Mystic is a brilliant actress. I think Woody, what's the lead?
Wood. And she's a great actress because I first was introduced to her in Greenleaf.
Mm-hmm.
And then to see her in this, I never once thought about that other role. Like, she completely, I didn't think about her in that role at all.
She's
a good one.
Extremely dynamic. The kids, I love both of them. I love the subject matter. I love that he was dealing with ADHD. He never made it a crutch. He never made it a crutch. And I love that they were young and she could love him through that.
Mm-hmm.
And they were dealing with some serious issues. Some bullying.
Mm-hmm.
Some SIGs. Some exes. So, if you haven't seen Forever on Netflix, please go watch it. I think he's great, and they're going to get a season 2. Congratulations, Murray Rockakeel, and my boy, Jerron Horton. You did that. You did your business. He was produced on it, and I ain't even know. And I'm just like, hey, my boy, put me on that thing. I could be forever. I could see myself in that show. I could see myself in anything, honestly. So, I hope I'm up and running by the time they start season 2. Get my cameo. Gotta talk about this. we just put you on today, but you said you had been watching it. Love After Lockup.
Who the hell thought of this show?
I don't know, but it's brilliant. It is brilliant. It's brilliant. You'll find out how many people really
putting themselves through the ringer for no reason at all.
I don't know. I wonder how many relationships that make successful relationships they batting at for this show. Because let me just say this. I've been around. I ain't gonna say, but I got some sisters. And they have been in similar situations when they were younger. I seen them talk to some kids in prison. But you're supposed to do that when you're young. You don't have no money and no goals and no ambition. I'm like, why? I enjoyed the show thoroughly. So I'm into 90 Day Fiancé. I think if you haven't watched. What did I say? 90 Day Fiancé. I'm into Love After Lockup and 90 Day Fiancé. I'm into it. Yeah, I'm into Love After Lockup. I think you gotta be pretty strong to put such a personal aspect of your life on camera. And I think being so vulnerable. It's one of the most vulnerable shows ever. One of the dudes on here said that's just prison talk. That's he told the girl she living in a fantasy. And when you really think about it, like I don't think he lying. I think when you are locked,
he's absolutely right.
I think they have nothing but time on their hand in prison. Nothing but time. So, they got time to think about all the sweet stuff. They got time to think about, what's the terminology he used? He said, that's prison. He was basically telling her, you delusional. This ain't what you think. But when somebody tell you something, believe it. This girl was still begging this man after he told her, I was talking to you in prison, and he said he the catch.
When he told her, at the end of the day, I was in prison, this was just entertainment.
Entertainment, that's what he said.
That should be enough. You couldn't open another chapter with me after saying something like that. Nothing you can say to me that's going to ever change my mind about who you are as an individual. I would never be able to take you seriously.
She asked him if he was going to stay tonight.
At the end of the day.
Yeah, that's what he said. It's just entertainment. And I feel like that was wild. I feel like that was extremely wild of him to say. Anyway, if you haven't watched Love After Lockup on WeTV, it's a show about people's relationship and how it evolved after their release from prison. They've been talking. The free party has been talking to the imprisoned party for a number of months and or years while they did their stint. And once they get out, a lot of them get paroled to their supposedly significant other homes. A lot of them get picked up by their a lot of them have two or more. One, at least two. And they choosing between them or going back and forth. And these people are allowing them to do that. So, yeah. Watch Love After Lockup on WeTV. Or on All Black. I think it's on All Black too. That being said, email us at the Post and Delete Podcast. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, you want to say hi. If you have something you want to talk about, if you got something you want to say to Wit, email us at the Post and Delete Podcast. POSTN, the letter N, DELETE podcast at Gmail. I'm so excited that my best friend was here today to do this. She's been listening to the podcast. You said you love it.
Yeah, I listen to it when I'm walking in the morning.
You think people gonna love your episode?
Probably not. I'm not very
excited. It was a really good episode. Really good episode.
Thank you. But I mean, I don't have the spark. You and Wit carry the show. But I'm appreciative. I'm very
good. Girl, quit sounding like a senior.
I'm appreciative.
Did you have fun with us?
Of course. I love watching you and Wit's interaction. Like, you're just all over the place, and Wit is this calm. You the panic button, and Wit is the pause, freeze, calm.
All over the place. Sort of like you are right now, and all I asked you was, did you have fun? That's all I asked. Very simple. Very simple. You could have said yes or no.
And yes, I had. I did. I had fun.
I'm glad you're here. I've been so excited for weeks. I've been. My best friend's coming and we're going to have a party. Hey now.
Has she really been excited with?
Yeah. She's been talking about this episode for a minute. Yeah. Good though.
And we was a post
off mic producer. This episode.
A terrible B mic today. Nonetheless, grateful for you at all times. You guys, as usual, thank you so much for tuning in to us. I had a blast. I don't know about the B and C mic today, but me personally, I had a blast. As always, thank you for always listening. Follow me on everything at Ketra Long. That's KETRALONG. Follow me. Brian, you want to plug your socials?
No. Why?
What you want to plug?
I'm not important.
This is, as usual, the burden falls on my lap. Thank y'all for tuning in. We appreciate you. Shout out to Tippy and Denny. Thank y'all. Real friends. This has been the Post and Leave Podcast. Bye.